Letters from Home, a podcast from the St. Paul Center.
Hi there, this is Dr. John Bergsma from the St. Paul Center, and if you are looking to better understand the readings that you hear at Mass, my newest book called The Word of the Lord, Reflections on the Sunday Mass Readings for Year A, is out now. To learn more, go to stpaulcenter.com.
Greetings. This is Dr. Shane Owens with the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. Today, on this beautiful Christmas weekday, we have the chance to reflect on two of the writings of St. John the Evangelist, the beloved disciple, a selection from his first epistle, as well as a selection from his gospel. We recently celebrated the feast of St. John on the 27th of December, and we continue to enjoy the spiritual riches of his writings. In my meditations to follow, I'm going to touch upon a theme that I think has often recurred in the episodes of this podcast, and that is of spiritual childhood. And I think it's prompted by today's readings, in particular the reading from 1 John. And let's look at this line. Quote, "See what love the Father has bestowed on us, that we may be called the children of God. Yet so we are. Beloved, we are God's children now." End quote. A stunning teaching. This teaching of spiritual childhood, or what we might call divine filiation, is also at the heart of the spirituality and writings of St. José María Escrivá, the founder of the personal prelature Opus Dei, a movement in spirituality with great importance to other figures in this Letters from Home podcast, Scott Hahn, John Bergsma, as well as myself. I have a few brief quotes from St. José María that meditate on this idea of divine filiation, or spiritual childhood, as I called it earlier, this theme of today's lection from 1 John. So this is St. José María from The Way, point 860. "Before God, who is eternal, you are much more a child then. Before you, the tiniest toddler. And besides being a child, you are a child of God. Don't forget it." Right, so this is the first image, I think, that a beautiful image that St. José María gives us, meditating on these kind of ideas from 1 John, that we're not just a child, you know, maybe not a 12-year-old or something like this, but we are the tiniest of toddlers. This is very present in my mind. I have a 3.5-year-old son and now a newborn daughter. My son's really beginning to move out of the toddler stage, but I remember it very distinctly. And one of the elements of the toddlerhood, if we can call it that, that St. José María wants us to reflect on is how toddlers are always finding themselves falling. But because of toddlers, maybe a spiritual image of humility here, are so close to the ground, these falls may be followed by tears, but usually are very quickly followed by immediately returning to the play that they were deeply engaged in. Sometimes not even tears. If you just don't react, they bounce back up and they courageously and bravely return to their play. But this is maybe very different from a fall. We can think of the fall of the elderly, which is sometimes the thing that precipitates their death. Now, of course, some of this is just biological and physical. Children heal quickly, they're closer to the ground, they're growing so their bones can heal, they're less frail. But I think there's a spiritual image that 1 John, as well as St. José María Escrivá, are trying to point us to when we think of the difference between being a quickly healing spiritual child and a fragile spiritual elder. And so St. José María again reflects, this is Friends of God 146. "Have you noticed what a great difference there is between a child falling and a fall by an adult? In the case of children, most falls are unimportant. They're always falling over. If we try to act like them, our stumbling and failures in the interior life, which moreover are inevitable, will never result in bitterness. Our reaction will be one of sorrow, but not discouragement. And we'll smile with a smile that gushes up like fresh water out of the joyous awareness that we are children of that love, that grandeur, that infinite wisdom, that mercy that is our Father." End of that quote. What strikes me here is maybe the powerful theme that one of the characteristics of children is of repentance, the ability of the child here in this symbol to fall, but then quickly jump back up, to immediately return to their prayer or their activity, to feel comforted by the simplest of kisses on their boo-boo, and all is healed. Maybe just a fun Band-Aid, a colorful Band-Aid, an avocado Band-Aid, whatever it could be, quickly erases all fears. But how different is that sometimes from us when we make mistakes, how we wallow in our mistakes, and that Satan is able to draw us deeper into a feeling of shame or self-hatred or loathing that doesn't actually allow us to turn to Jesus or bounce back. The falls become the precipitation of a greater spiritual demise. Now, for all this theme, this may seem difficult to match up with another one of today's verses from 1 John. The beloved disciple teaches us, quote, "Everyone who has this hope based on him makes himself pure as he is pure. Everyone who commits sin commits lawlessness, for sin is lawlessness. You know that he was revealed to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who remains in him sins. No one who sins has seen him or know him," end quote. This seems kind of like an all or nothing, black or white teaching from 1 John, right? But I seem to sin. I sin every day. Indeed, the scriptures teach us that if we say we don't sin, we're liars. And the just man sins every day. But what is 1 John trying to pull us to guide us to? I think a key word to me is hope. That this is the hope we have, but we are imperfectly children. We're not yet completely the children that God has created us to be. We're only partially children of God. We are also still children of the devil, children of the world, bound by the things of darkness and not completely of the light. And so we must continue to be purified. We must make ourselves purified like the Word, the Lamb, Jesus Christ. And so this way, it's by seeing him and knowing him. The more we see him, the more we deepen in our knowledge of him, the more we'll become pure and without sin. Another key line here from 1 John will actually direct us to today's gospel. 1 John says that he was revealed to take away sins. This theme of revelation is central to the approaching feast of the Epiphany, traditionally observed on January 6th, the end of the 12 days of Christmas. The Feast of the Epiphany is one of the oldest feasts of the liturgical calendar, alongside feasts like Christmas and Easter. Epiphany, and we've lost maybe all of these layers in our consciousness, is about the manifestation of Jesus, in particular the manifestation of Jesus to the Gentiles through the Magi, the three kings as we know them, the manifestation of his glory, the first sign or miracle he performs at the wedding of Cana, and then this manifestation of Jesus Christ as the Son of God, the beloved Son of God, at his baptism in the Jordan. So you have the visit of the Magi, the wedding at Cana, and the baptism at the Jordan. More often than not, I think we are prone to thinking of the Epiphany as primarily about the three kings, the three Magi, because it seems to be the culmination of the infancy narratives, these Christmas stories and our Christmas songs and our Christmas themes that we've been enmeshed in during this wonderful Christmastide. But as it was the case throughout the Advent season, here too in the Christmas season as we move towards Epiphany, we see this closeness of John the Baptist and Jesus. In the Gospel of Luke, we saw the two annunciations, the annunciation of Gabriel to Zechariah about John the Baptist and the annunciation to the Blessed Virgin Mary about Jesus. So this close connection throughout. But here we now look at John the Baptist's preaching in the Gospel of John about Jesus and his reference to the baptism. John says here in the Gospel of John, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." A line that we hear at this climactic moment in our Eucharistic liturgy. What is important to me about this in relationship to all of our meditations about divine childhood or spiritual childhood, divine filiation, as we're noting above, is that it is Jesus who makes this divine filiation possible. He is the Lamb who purifies us, who reveals himself to us, who makes himself known, who lets us to see himself, and by seeing him, as he tells his apostle Philip, to see the Father. So it's not our own work. It's not our own efforts. We will sin by our own efforts. It's he who makes us children, as he is the Son by nature of the Father. To close, I want to just bring up a few remarks of St. Augustine of Hippo on today's gospel text. The first, John the Baptist is unlike any typical royal herald. Because a typical royal herald, say of a secular king, announces the coming of the king, the emperor, the lord, so that the crowds will clear away, that they'll make space, they'll get away from him so he can pass quickly. Instead, it's John who calls the crowds, that they gather and cluster around the Lamb, and John the Baptist must have rejoiced to see how the crowds pressed upon Jesus time and time again. The second would be the harmonizing of some gospels. One of the things that's striking, and if you are trying to get the four Gospels and you're reading them and you want to make sense of how they come together, is in the Gospel of John, it seems that John doesn't know who Jesus is at first place, right, when you first read it. But how are we supposed to make sense of this? The Gospel of Luke says that John is a cousin of Jesus or the son of Mary's cousin Elizabeth. So is he really completely ignorant? And in some of the other Gospels at the baptism, it seems like John is very able to clearly identify Jesus as the Lamb. So what is this about? I'd say what it really comes down to is John learning the fullness of Jesus' identity. We already talked about this with the idea of being children of God, that we're not fully children of God. Here we don't fully know. John didn't fully know Jesus. But as he says here in today's Gospel, now I have seen and testified he is the Son of God. Maybe he knew him as cousin, maybe he knew him as Messiah, as a great prophet, but here, the Son of God, this profound teaching that will be a current, an aquifer coursing through underneath the Gospel of John and bubbling up in so many places. But that's not it. He learns the full identity of Jesus, but he also learns something more. He also learns of the baptism by the Holy Spirit. From the quote, the one who sent me to baptize with water. So the one who sends God to baptize with water reveals to John that when he sees this Lamb who takes away the sins of the world, it'll be a baptism with the Holy Spirit. This is how we come to be children of God. Regardless of the minister, even if we are baptized as non-Catholic Christians, if they do what the church intends, Trinitarian formula, pouring of water, immersion in water, we become children of God. Perhaps imperfect at first, but through hope and through the continued revelation of Jesus, our deepening in knowledge, our striving to see him, we become more and more like him, become sinless and pure, become children that when we do fall, we're like a toddler who bounces back up and looks with joy, with, as Jose Maria says, with a smile that gushes up like fresh water out of a joyous awareness. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, show us yourself. Reveal yourself to us. Help us to see you and know you, to see and know your Father and your Spirit, whom you send with your Father. Send forth your Spirit upon us, that we may be spiritual toddlers, not discouraged or bitter by our falls, but bouncing up with the joy and the assurance that we are children who our Father welcomes back. Drive away all sinlessness and impurity for us. Help us to embrace all the graces of our baptism, knowing that whoever baptized us, it was you, Christ, the one who baptizes with the Spirit who baptized us. May we be like John the Baptist. May we call the crowds to press around you. May we ourselves press around you and draw ever closer to you to live forever with you in eternity. Amen. This has been Dr. Shane Owens with the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. May God give you his peace.
Thank you for listening to Letters from Home, the Scripture Reflections podcast from the St. Paul Center. Listen daily with reflections from Dr. Scott Hahn, Dr. John Bergsma, Dr. Shane Owens, Ms. Joan Watson, and Mr. Clement Harold. Our production team includes Technical Director Rory Mitrick and producers Olivia Mosier and Joseph Palmer. Our mission at the St. Paul Center is to help you read Scripture from the heart of the Church. Subscribe and share Letters from Home, as well as Dr. Scott Hahn's podcast, The Road to Emmaus, and Mrs. Kimberly Hahn's podcast, Beloved and Blessed. For more faith-based resources, books, and Bible studies, visit stpaulcenter.com.